thank you for your word. We thank you for our pastor. We just ask a double anointing on him this evening as he brings forth the message, that it might just challenge us to draw closer to you. We just praise you for your word, and just allow us to absorb it, that it might truly change our lives, that we would truly observe it and be your servants. We ask it for your honor and glory. B'Shem Yeshua we pray. Amen.
I want to start looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So far, this has been a very interesting little journey. We've dealt with spiritual warfare. Last week, we dealt with the ministries of the Holy Spirit. And tonight, I want to begin a series, probably 3 to 4 messages, on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You're going to find next week to be kind of interesting. The first mention of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is not in the New Covenant. It's actually in the Tanakh, in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. So that'll give you a little heads up. But as I did with the ministries of the Holy Spirit, I want to define some terms that I'm going to be using so that if you disagree with me, it's not going to be on concept. I don't want you to disagree with me on semantics. Most arguments are over the way we define words. First, I want to look how we label people. We have some believers who are charismatic, and we have other believers who are non-charismatic, and then we have believers who are anti-charismatic. Charismatic believers operate in one or more of the public word gifts, prophecy, tongues, sometimes associated with healing and miracles. Non-charismatic believers do not operate in and do not sanction the word gifts, prophecy, and tongues. I hope they believe in healing. If they don't, as soon as they get sick, they will. You know the old saying, there's no atheists in foxholes. Well, there's no atheists in hospital beds neither. Anti-charismatic believers don't believe that the gifts are for today, that God accomplishes healing through doctors, not supernaturally, that there certainly is no gift of tongues anymore for today or prophecy. Those things have passed with the apostolic age. First thing I'd like to say about these definitions are that they are completely artificial, they are contrived, and they are arbitrary. Every believer has at least one gift. No believer possesses all the gifts. The word charisma or charismata means gift in English, but it also means grace. Same root, same word. Gift and grace are the same word. And therefore, by definition, all believers are charismatic. Every believer has at least one gift, and as we'll see, actually three. The first gift that every believer possesses is the gift of salvation, and it's referred to as such. If you don't have the gift of salvation, you're not a believer. Duh. Let me punctuate that. Duh. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, you are saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is a gift from God. I didn't earn my salvation. I earned my damnation. Amen. Amen. The grace of God saved me. I can get myself thrown out of heaven. I can't get myself back in. It is grace, and it is a gift of salvation. It says so. That's why I define it that way. The second gift that all believers possess, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, speaks of the gift of eternal life as being charismata. This gift is obviously inextricably tied to the gift of salvation. And the third gift that every single believer possesses is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent, and each of you will be baptized in the name of Yeshua for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Amen. These are gifts. Boy, we're getting Pentecost. I'm preaching on the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden we're getting Pentecostal. Listen to this. There's been more amens in the first part of this message than there has been in the last 30 years that I've been rabbiing here. Amen. Carl, you starting to feel more at home? You know, if my back wasn't bad and I wasn't wearing this tallis, I'd give you a dip. But I'm going to pay for that dip for the next 2 weeks. And when I dip, I lose my tallis. So we'll just have to stay a little less exuberant. The gift of the Holy Spirit is the wellspring from which all the gifts of the Holy Spirit flow. Romans chapter 11, verse 29 indicates the eternal nature of God's gifts. His gifts and his callings, there is no repentance from them. There is no alleviation of them. They are irrevocable. They are never taken away by God. Now, although the primary context in Romans is towards the Jewish people, the very fact that God has been faithful to the Jewish people gives me hope that he will be faithful to the body of Messiah. If the replacement theologians are correct, and God did away with the Jews because they disobeyed, church ain't got much hope. If you read the history of the church, it's literally written in blood. Literally. And if God got rid of the Jews, we don't have a lot of hope. So the very fact that God's callings and gifts are without revocation, that gives me hope. That gives me joy. God is faithful in his promises. And if he was faithful there, he'll be faithful here. And I count on that. Even in unbelief, Israel continues to reside in the gifts and the callings that she first received. The primary one, through the Jewish people, came the word of God. Not everybody who is gifted and who is called are chosen. God gifts and calls every single believer, but not every believer enters into that calling. Fact of the matter is, actually, sadly, many are called, few are chosen. That's unfortunate. I knew a man called to be a pastor. No doubt in my mind. He made the wrong choices. Didn't have enough faith. Went to school and studied another subject. Didn't equip himself. Didn't study to show himself approved. He's definitely called to be a pastor. But he never receive the choosing to be the pastor. Say it. Source of frustration. God still uses him, but not in the way God wanted to use him. We can determine that there are seven attributes, if you will, to the spiritual gifts. The first is they are bestowed by God. 1 Corinthians 12 is really clear on this. He and he alone decides who gets what. No matter how much we pray to receive a certain gift, and we are commanded to do that with regard to prophecy, that is not the criteria by which the gifts of the Holy Spirit are bestowed. For most of my life, I have prayed for the gift of healing. I have always desired that gift and the blessing that that gift would be to so many, not to hold healing services here at a church. We already have a congregation of the sick that is gathered together. Children's Hospital, St. Luke's, St. Anthony's. The congregation of the sick has been gathered. I'm not going to ask them to take a taxi down to my congregation. I would go to them, and I'd clear that place out, turn it into condominiums. No matter how much I've prayed, I do not have the gift of healing. I pray for people, I pray for their healing, and sometimes they're healed, and sometimes they ain't. That's not a gift. God has chosen to give me other gifts that are associated with pastoring. Number two, spiritual gifts are given at the time of salvation, when we are baptized in the Spirit and into the body of Messiah. Unfortunately, some of you have not been here previously, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit takes place at salvation. Amen. If you're not sealed unto the day of redemption, you ain't saved. We receive our calling at the moment we're saved. We receive our giftings to accomplish that calling. But those gifts and calling may lay dormant depending upon the individual and the quantity of time it takes God to purge him from that which would hinder his entering into his gifts and callings. I was saved a long time before God chose me to be a pastor. It took a long time to purge the foulness, the filth, the horror that was inside of me. And that old man, he still called mustard from the grave. Like a baby who has the potential to walk but just doesn't have the coordination to actually accomplish that. Every believer has potential in creation. And when God purges us with holy fire, we fulfill our potential in creation. Again, every believer has at least one gift, number three, and no believer has all the gifts, except for the three that I mentioned, salvation, eternal life, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. There is no such a thing as a believer without a gift, and that is why the gifts must be bestowed at the time of salvation. Number four, spiritual gifts differ in value. They're not all equal. The example given in Scripture is tongues is the least, prophecy is greater. There is an order to the gifts, from lowest to highest. The gifts have no value if they are not used in love. Between 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which describes the gifts, and chapter 14, which discusses details concerning the spiritual gifts, lies chapter 13, in which we're told expressly These gifts have absolutely no value. If I speak in known and unknown tongues, if I prophesy, all of this is nothing if I don't have love. Amen. There seems to be an order in the distribution of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gift comes from the Father, the tube, if you will, the conduit that connects God with man is his Son, and the Holy Spirit is what flows through that conduit and anoints us with giftings and power, strength to walk in God's purposes and God's paths according to God's commandments. Number 7, the spiritual gifts do not indicate a person's level of spirituality. The church at Corinth was quite active in the use of the spiritual gifts. Most believers don't like the word sarcastic, but the scriptures are full of sarcasm. We kind of clean it up a little bit and call it irony. But irony is just a nice way of saying sarcastic. Everybody spoke in tongues. Everybody prophesied. And Corinth receives more rebuke than anyone else from Paul because they misused the gifts and they abused the gifts of God's Holy Spirit. They were carnal believers, not spiritual ones, even though the gifts were being manifested everywhere. I want to look at some of the things that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not. And these are things I've heard spoken to me over the last 30 years, and so I bring them up. They are reality. There is no gift of the Holy Spirit to serve in a place. In other words, you don't have a gift to serve in Israel or Africa or New Guinea. That might be a calling. God might call you to that place to minister, but there is no gift of ministering to Jews or to Aborigines. The same gifts that you will use to minister to them, you could use to minister to anyone. There are only callings of God to certain places. Gifting is not an office. Somebody may be moved by God to a prophetic word. That doesn't mean they're a prophet or fulfill the office of prophet. Over the course of the next few weeks, as I discuss these gifts, I will try to give you a well-reasoned apologia on why I don't believe the office of prophet is still for today, even though I believe prophecy is for today. Just because you prophesy doesn't mean you are the prophet for that generation. Likewise, just because a person has the gift of pastoring doesn't necessarily mean they are called to fulfill the office of pastor. My first wife of blessed memory certainly had a gift of pastoring, which she used amongst the women in this congregation extensively, but she was not called to fulfill the office of pastor here. Her husband was, who didn't have quite the gift that she had. Way it is. Number 3, a gift is not a talent. The gifts of God's Holy Spirit are not your talents. Talents are possessed by both believers and non-believers, while spiritual gifts are possessed only by believers. There are many unbelievers who are far better at playing the fiddle than I am. but they don't get to play before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's fact. When we pick musicians to minister here, I don't pick them solely based or even primarily based on their musical abilities. I first look at their spiritual lives, the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. In the temple, you couldn't play in the temple unless you were first a priest. You could have been the best trumpet player in all Israel, but if you weren't from the tribe of Levi, I suppose nobody would have minded if you kicked some jam with some of the priests and, you know, sat off to the side and blew a little horn, but you didn't get to minister because you weren't a priest. That's why it's so strange to me when people hire musicians to come in and lead worship. Yeah, your music is cool. Very, very groovy. That just dated me, didn't it? But how can an unbeliever lead believers in worship? How is that even possible? I don't understand that. That makes no sense to me. Number four, a gift of the Holy Spirit is not limited to an age group. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, I'm gifted to minister to the youth. No, you're gifted to minister. You may be called to minister to youth. You may be called to minister to the old folk. But that's not a gift. That's a calling. And the same gift can be used in both areas. You just have to figure out where God is calling you to use that gift of ministering. I want to look at some of the passages that speak of charismata. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Gift and grace are the exact same words in this particular passage. And there are several things we can determine from reading this passage. Number one, again, every believer has at least one gift. If a pastor is truly non-charismatic or without gifts, he ain't gonna be a real good pastor. He should at least have the gift of pastor-teacher. Number two, the believer must minister or serve the body with this gift. If the gift is self-serving, it's not of God. The purpose of the gifts is to build up and to equip the body of Messiah for greater service. And of course, third, the spiritual gift is given by God, and each individual is responsible to use it wisely. Fact of the matter is, according to the parable of the talents, we're going to be judged on what we do with what we've been given. Some were given much, some have given little, but all need to show increase on what they've been given. Or as the Lord says in the parable of the talents, that's a wicked servant, lazy, slothful. Unfortunately, the gifts have been used in ways that have never been intended by Scripture. Now, you know, my gift, my particular gift, is to upset people. Amen. It first started, for those of you who are first new time, that's my wife. Yes, come on by some Sunday. You don't get this kind of entertainment on HBO, really. It's really quite funny to watch the old people interact. And you can get away with stuff when you're old that you cannot get away with when you are young. I'm just saying. This is probably going to upset some folks because they've heard certain things. But, you know, you can upset some of the people some of the time. You can upset all the people some of the time, and you can actually upset everybody all the time. That is a possibility. There is no gift that can be used to evidence the indwelling or baptism of the Holy Spirit. That evidence is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The scriptures do not say they will know you by your gifts. The scriptures say they will know you by your fruit. Every single gift given by the Holy Spirit has been counterfeited and is manifested by those people who follow God's enemy, Hasatan. That is a fact. There are those who believe that unless you speak in tongues, for instance, you don't have the anointing or the baptism of whatever language is being used today of the Holy Spirit. Some have actually gone as far to say that that individual who does not speak in tongues is not saved. That is nonsense. Amen. As a consequence, and this is one of the stranger things in the body of Messiah, there are people who teach speaking in tongues. Once again, utter nonsense to me. I find it silly. If a tongue is taught, it's not a gift. It's learned, and it's earned. Eliezer Urbach, the founder of this congregation, did not have the gift of tongues, but he spoke 8 different languages because he was thrown out of 7 different countries. Why are you laughing? It's true. A person who studies Hebrew does not have the gift of tongues. He simply learned to speak Hebrew. If you've never studied Hebrew and all of a sudden you're fluent in Hebrew, that's the gift of tongues. Once again, let me punctuate. Duh. When the teaching of tongues takes place, it's typically in an unknown tongue, or the tongue of angels, or a prayer language, or however it's referred to. And I bring this up not to be condescending, but, and although I'm probably sounding that way, but that's really not the point. The point is to show you we need to look to the scriptures to understand what God is doing and not to each other. The scriptures are our final source of knowledge, especially about the gift of the Holy Spirit. In teaching of tongues, the individual is encouraged to start babbling and to have the faith that God will eventually take over and give that babbling some sort of meaning. And I would encourage you to have greater faith. If God desires you to have the gift of tongues, have the faith to believe he'll give you the gift of tongues. He really doesn't need you to, like, jumpstart him. He's perfectly capable of anointing you with the gift of tongues, which I believe are for today, just like I believe prophecy is for today. But I don't believe silliness is for today. Just had to deal with this today. I don't see the value of vocational or personality tests to determine your spiritual gifting. These tests have great value with regard to vocational training. They will test your personality. They will test the areas that you are good in, the areas that you are not so good in, and will help you determine a career that you are more likely to succeed at. For instance, if you keep dropping something, brain surgery is probably out of the question. I'm just saying. A surgeon's hands are delicate instruments. They guard them. But spiritual gifts are not determined in such a fashion. I'm relatively certain everybody's heard it. If you see things in black and white, you're probably a prophet. No, you're just obnoxious to talk to. Now, that is a trait of prophets, which is why everybody tried to kill them all the time. But just being obnoxious doesn't make, although every prophet is obnoxious, not all those who are obnoxious are prophets. You can be obnoxious all on your lonesome. The gifts of God are not determined by our proclivities, our personalities, our talents. They're determined by what God has called us to, and then he equips us to fulfill that calling. I'm here to tell you, if anybody ever gave me that test, pastoring would not have been on the list of things. I even talked to God when he told me I was supposed to be a pastor, and I said, you ought to check your books. I know you're infallible, but, you know, there's a first time for everything. Do you want a shepherd who hates sheep? I moved to Idaho to get away from you guys. Because every time I met another human being, I fell more in love with my dog. And my horse began to shine like the sun in its brightness. And we began to speak, me and my horse. And you're going to call me to these guys? I'm going to shoot them. The Holy Spirit will constrain you and your behavior. And I'm only being slightly facetious. God's gifts given to us are not determined by anything we want to do, by any natural talent we have. Prior to being called a pastor, I had an absolutely debilitating fear of speaking in front of people. And I was terrified as I walked up to that pulpit for the first message. And the Lord let that terror remain until I got to that pulpit and I opened my mouth. And now you can't shut me up, as many of you are already thinking right now. There's another thing that we have to understand about the Holy Spirit and his gifts. If you're going to serve God, you have to serve him in the power of his Holy Spirit. If you think you're going to serve God in your own strength, you have deceived yourself. It will not last. It doesn't matter how strong you are. You will be wore down. God will tell you to whom you are to minister. We're not called to minister to everybody. Needs are endless. They are infinite. You are not. If you are driven by need, you'll be a smoking ember, just like Aaron's sons. You'll be burnt out, burn up. There's all kinds of camps, a lot of them right here in Colorado, for pastors who are suffering burnout. If you've suffered burnout, Here's what you can determine. You screwed up. You're ministering in places you ought not to minister to. You're doing things, you're taking too much upon yourself. Ministry should be strengthening. It should imbibe you with power. You should be stronger when you minister, not weaker. If you're being depleted, then you're not serving God and His Holy Spirit. You're serving God and your strength, and you will fall. You don't have the strength to do it. To the believer, the opposite is true. In our weakness, we are made strong. God's Holy Spirit has less of us to overcome. I've given some of my best messages dead asleep. Sleep preaching. I caught a few Z's between point 2 and 3. First Peter chapter 4:11. Rather we seek to walk in the power of the living God and the gifts that He bestows upon us through His grace. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. Over the course, well, next week's Pesach, and then we have Jonathan Sattel, who's coming here, and I encourage you, he's just got one of those angelic-type voices. We'll pick up and we'll start looking at the specific gifts and define them, and until then, I encourage you to pray that God will reveal to you the gifts and the callings that He has prepared for you. And even more so, to look and seek the strength by which to walk on those paths. That you would earnestly seek the Lord on what gifts and callings you have been given by God, so that you can fulfill your purpose in God's creation. Amen. Father, in Yeshua's name, we give praise, honor, and glory to you. And I thank you, Lord God, for this night. I thank you for the unsearchable depth, width, and breadth of the mercy and the grace that caused you to send the one that you love, that He might die for us. Yeshua, we will give you praise for all eternity that you are obedient, that you came here and you lived for us and you died for us and you're coming back for us. Anoint us, Lord God, with your Holy Spirit, that we might find the strength and the power to be bold in our proclamation of you before men. Find the strength to walk in the path that you have chosen each of us to travel. In Yeshua's precious and holy name, amen. Did I get an amen from you? No, I don't care about you. That little one, give me an amen. She likes me.